Coming up on Patriots This Week, champions are crowned in the middle of winter, but championships are won in the hard work of summer swelter. For the first time since their first Super Bowl victory, their leader will not start the season, but his impact looms large over the franchise.
Not gonna lie, it's like one of your buddies going to jail, so.
That frees up an opportunity for Jimmy G.
It's straight Arizona right now, so that's where my head's at.
The dress rehearsals are over.
Kick it up a notch and the sense of urgency kind of goes up.
Even the players are ready for some football.
It's the beginning of a journey. That's what makes it kind of fun.
And it all begins right now on Patriots This Week.
More than 7 months after their two-point try was denied and the Patriots were dethroned by the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game, they renew their quest for a fifth title in the place where they won their fourth, University of Phoenix Stadium in Arizona. And hi, everyone. Welcome to our first edition of Patriots This Week here in 2016. Bob Soucy with three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Chatham and my radio partner, longtime Patriot quarterback Scott Zolak.
No-time Super Bowl champion right here. You know what? We should have never been in Denver. You shouldn't even have said that. Shouldn't even been in Denver the way we mismanaged, not we, but the way they mismanaged the end of the year. We should have never been in Denver.
But they've got a very good opponent in the season opener, the Arizona Cardinals, and most unusual circumstances under which to begin the season without Tom Brady, the MVP of Super Bowl 49, for the first four games. Jimmy Garoppolo takes over at quarterback. What have you seen this preseason?
Mr. Anti-Commissioner, you want to handle this one first?
I
love everything you've written about him. Yeah, I support everything he says about the commissioner. We're not big fans.
Yeah, so again, I don't even want to bring the guy's name up at this point. So I'll just stick with Jimmy. And what I think I've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo is a lot of what I think coaches echoed in all our opportunities for the preseason. Every year it's great to get some insight on what they see from the guy. And I think in part a lot of this was a feeling that they could give him the whole playbook and not have issues. Now, I think fans out there that saw the third preseason game, to know that was the first time we saw some warts. But this is not a situation where it's like Tom has his playbook and Jimmy has his playbook. We're past that point. The issues that came up in Carolina, though, were more about pressure. And I think that boils down to not how you feel about Jimmy versus Tom Brady or anything like that. It's back to Josh McDaniel. How do you build a game plan so that those issues where pressure comes aren't an issue?
Jimmy's in a tough spot because he's following a guy, and it's kind of our first real look as to what life without Tom Brady's going to be like. And it's going to be different. He's not going to be Tom Brady. It's not fair to ask him to be Tom Brady. I don't want him to be Tom Brady. I'm excited to call a game to see what he's going to do on a road, 3rd and 8 in a huddle, and see if he's got a little moxie to him and see if he's going to rally the troops. More importantly, it's a well-coached team, and he's got good people around him. Go out and play. Don't feel like you have to win the whole game.
So how does Jimmy come into this game prepared to anticipate what the Cardinals are going to do, or can the Patriots prepare him for that?
So if you're sitting at home and you want to kind of watch us like an expert, I think a lot of what happens pre-snap is extremely important. Honestly, and Zoe knows this as a quarterback, a lot of his success is going to come with how well he processes before the snap, especially with a team that's a pressure team like you mentioned, because they roll stuff.
The last thing I think you want to do, especially on like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10 with Jimmy, is to get him out there, get him in a gun, let the crowd get into it, let them start adjusting. Now all of a sudden he's got to react to them. Get up there, snap it. Let Arizona react to New England. And I think if they could stay ahead of that, maybe up-tempo a little bit, sort of get back to the Eastern Illinois ways, we'll see what happens.
Well, he's going to have three things that, for the most part, if not at all, he didn't have in the preseason. Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, who didn't play in any of the preseason games, and Julian Edelman, of course, had a cup of coffee with Jimmy Garoppolo. What kind of difference do they make toward those ends you're talking about?
Can you 87 sets coverage, right? I mean, you're a defensive guy. Okay, you break the huddle. You're not looking, okay, where's Jimmy? Where's Malcolm Mitchell? Where's Julian Edelman? You're looking, where's number 87? And you're going to dictate coverage outwards.
Can you imagine a scenario in any other of the 31 teams in this league where you would hyper-judge the quarterback? And I get it because it's the first time we've seen him. But without an all-pro tight end that sets everything, as Zoe said, he's going to be the center of a game plan. We haven't even seen him on the field. Julian Edelman, their top wide receiver, who, as you mentioned, sort of cup of coffee. In for his few series, it was a little rough. It'll look nothing like you expect it'll look on week one. So this guy with his top weapons not even out there, and we're judging what he's going to be. You'll know what he's going to be when everyone's around him.
Still, reservations about the offensive line. We've seen changes even in this week leading up to the game with Josh Klein not in the picture. Brian Stork was let go, a starting center for this team, better part of the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Cannon's been criticized, too, here over the last couple of years. And I think it's good for him that he had a really good camp. It looks like he's bigger. It looks like he's fit. Not fit, but, I mean, you stand next to Marcus Cannon now as opposed to 2-3 years ago, He looks every bit of that Dallas Cowboy type lineman that that was in the 90s, you know, those big Nate Newton types.
LeGarrette Blount certainly looked reinvigorated in the preseason. James White, not a reliable guy. They know what they have there. And DJ Foster, one of the pleasant surprises for many, I think, in the preseason. Unavailable early because of an injury, but he came on and made this team by way of his performance the last two contests.
Short-term quickness, that box area, that five-yard box. You know, you're going to get defenders around you. And what we loved about Deion Lewis was his ability to make the first guy miss, only first, second, third guy. Remember that Dallas game where he shook six defenders inside the 10-yard line? You can get a guy in a straight line, and he can run as fast as he can. And I think this whole game, the way offenses are changing now, everything's predicated on how much you could change speed, change direction in the five-yard box. DJ Foster shows he can do that, and that's why he's on the team.
Any concerns about four wide receivers, not including Matthew Slater, the special teams ace, but four wide receivers, three of whom were injured during the preseason?
That's, I think, a fair point, because I think Chris Hogan looks like he could be a nice player for this team. I think it was a great addition, but there's some thinness there because Julian had a light camp. Amendola did not have a camp, and the other guy dislocated his elbow, but now is back, Malcolm Mitchell, in the brace. And he looked like a great player, but you just don't know what you have there. So I think this could be an unusual game. You guys got to call it.
Dice a little bit with Amendola. I like Danny Amendola. I think he's going to be big in this game, and when we get to the end of the show, you're going to understand why. I think he's got to be money in the slot. What we really figured out is Edelman and Mitchell, you're two outside guys along with Hogan. Hogan, yeah. They tried to run those slip screens throughout camp. He doesn't run it the way Edelman and Amendola do. He's a bigger guy. I like him on the outside.
Big picture looking back, we've talked about Derby a little bit. Foster, other surprises for you, one way or the other, pleasantly or not so?
Throughout the entire roster, Bob?
Yeah.
I would say Anthony Johnson was sort of the story of camp. Yeah. What a cool story that was. And again, I think it really underscores the importance of these preseason games, of having live action, because I watched all the one-on-ones. I didn't see any of that. I watched the team periods. It wasn't much of that. But when the lights came on, that dude was crazy. I mean, he was the energy and the motor that he played with, the strength, that a not a huge body, a guy that lost a lot of weight to get to where he is now in that sort of 280 to 290 range. He had a huge high motor, and he really, I think, helped move out a really solid veteran in Terrence Knighton.
Chris Long got better practice to practice to practice, to game to game to game, and that's a big thing, because at the beginning of camp, we're saying, well, where's he really going to fit in? Guys like he and McClellan, these new guys, you get this new role here. But Marcus Cannon, I already talked about him. I think that's trending in the right direction. Jamie Collins, not like he needs to say, hey, boy, you look really good, but he looks bigger, faster, stronger.
One guy that they've brought into the mix very late before the season opener is Eric Rowe, second-round pick coming out of Utah a couple of years ago, last year actually, by the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you expect for him down the road?
He's got that Brandon Browner, Tabucky Jones-type build to him. He's longer. He's got a bigger gait to him, so I think he's going to be more your more physical corner. Plus, I think it gives you a little more depth behind Malcolm.
All right, coming up on Patriots This Week, the Pats have won seven straight AFC East titles. Can the streak be stopped in 2016?
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on A.J. Derby. The 6-foot, 255-pound tight end leaked onto the Patriots roster with an impressive preseason. Drafted in the sixth round a year ago, Derby was injured in the 2015 training camp. But the one-time Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback led all tight ends with 15 catches for 189 yards this preseason, including this TD catch against the Bears. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and welcome back to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham. And guys, the Patriots have held a firm grip on the AFC East. Of course, seven-time defending champions in the division. The streak of success goes back, of course, to the emergence of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Pats. The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
They won the offseason, according to head coach.
They win it every year. Yeah.
They haven't been to the playoffs since 1999.
Right.
Can they get there in 2016?
I think they may be the most talented group that we talk about outside the Patriots within this division. You look at what they do defensively. They move around. They historically give you trouble every year. I think Buffalo's a tough place to play. Granted, we have them here early in the year. You and I really don't like going up there to call games at that stadium, even though it's a 24-hour in-and-out, hit-em-and-leave trip.
Good steakhouse in Buffalo.
It's a great steakhouse, but Tyrod Taylor's their guy. They gave him a little bump, little extension here. I think he creates problems for people on third and short. And they have a pretty good layering on the outside as far as perimeter people. They have good backs. I just think it's a pretty darn good football team.
Matt, another of your former teams, the Jets, re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick at the 11th hour. Yeah. Can he duplicate the kind of success he had last year, at least statistically? And can the Jets get over the hump? Last year, they were in prime position for a playoff spot, and they blew it.
Brandon Marshall had an exceptional year. Still looks like in great shape. Decker had a nice year. Still looks like in great shape. But all these guys just got a year older. So is the presumption that they can replicate? That's tough to do. Maybe they could replicate. Could they take it a step higher? I don't know. That's tough to think unless the Devin Smith from Ohio State somehow has like a bigger year and bigger role. But where's the new sort of bump in offense? They let Chris Ivory go to Jacksonville. And that running game was a lot of what set up the things that they had. I know they bring in the back Forte from Chicago, but he's a dynamic guy, a little different and much older. So do they still have the run game to support them to have that passing game? We don't know that.
Dolphins brought in Adam Gase, seemingly to mentor Ryan Tannehill in a make or break year for him. But can Adam Gase, former offensive coordinator in a couple of different places, manage a 53-man roster that's been a little bit volatile these last couple of years and really is underachieved in many respects?
It's been a big question. This is why I like Rex Ryan. I think Rex Ryan, at least for what it's worth for him, when he walks in a room, I think he grabs the attention of the team. Whether it's good or bad, at least that guy can hold the room. I don't know if Adam Gase can hold a room. He can get in there, he can go on a whiteboard, he can tell Ryan Tannehill, you're going to look here, you're going to look there. You're going to be okay this week. We're going to manage the game a little better for you. We're going to try and do some of the things you did at Texas A&M. Instead of controlling all 53, that's a great thing about this place. It's been the one constant for 17 years here in New England. That guy walks in a room, you better be in that room 5 minutes early. I just don't know if Adam Gase can do that in this division and contend with New England. I really don't.
You should have got Dan Campbell back to just fire up the troops.
Campbell, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do lift some weights, man. Punch some walls.
I know these two stylish guys can hold a room. So can Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, coming off a 13-win campaign. Back with more after this on Patriots This Week.
Here we go, week one. I've returned, and it's time for your Zoe Show. Okay, we got Arizona week one. We can talk about Carson Palmer. We can talk about Larry Fitzgerald. We can talk about Brown on the outside. That's all boring stuff. Let's talk about David Johnson, the running back. They have a home run hitter in Chris Johnson. But why do I like this guy? Little backside motion with the tight end. He's a between-the-tackle runner that has the ability to do that. Bounce it outside. That's where it's going to be critical for guys like Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, to have great pursuit angles. Don't let this guy break containment. Okay, so freeze it right here. Normal front seven, seven guys down in front. What do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Throw this guy in the corner. 9. 9 guys down in the box. So this should be an easy tackle right here, right? Great penetration. Tackle for loss. No. Makes that guy miss. Gets in. Lowers the shoulder. Does this. Bounce to the outside. This is what scares the heck out of me. Lack of preseason tackling for running backs. Early in the season, they should have more success running the football. So, okay, we saw two great runs from David Johnson. Can he also catch the ball? Well, here we go. A little jet sweep action. Nice little underneath play fake. Carson Palmer to the outside. Good, accurate throw. Should have him on the sideline, right? Nope. Guy's got the jets. He can turn them on. So what concerns me week one? Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald? No. A gentleman by the name of David Johnson. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
In the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week, focusing now on the Arizona Cardinals. First opponent for the Patriots and a tough matchup. 13 wins a year ago, top 5 offense, top 5 defense, a lot of speed across the field on both sides.
Tough spot. We've been in these spots before. You open up the year, you get in there, and everything's going to be amped up. That place is going to be buzzing. It's going to be a hornet's nest. How much do they put into this one game as opposed to the 16 steady games that are going to get them there? Last thing I remember about the Cardinals, they got punched in the mouth by Carolina. So they've got to find a way to get over that. They're not a real physical team. They're athletic. Again, like any other of these teams we've talked about, all their success hinges on the quarterback. Carson Palmer killed him in that game. Can you force him to turn this ball over? And if you get a couple early in this game, it's going to be tough for them. Get ready for the Boo Birds.
Yeah, you really hit on the point that has been sort of running through my head throughout this preseason. Like, we spent so much time.
He looked terrible this preseason.
Exactly. Yeah. It has not been a good camp for them. So we always spend this time. What's the Patriots' record going to be through the first four games? How are they going to handle Arizona? And I think people look at their overall season record and not what they did last and any of the adjustments they made since. Arizona had a real tough time with turnovers in their playoff run. And you look at the Patriots' defense throughout the course of this preseason, they're a turnover-laden team. This is a team that turns the ball over. And I think that's really going to be the big test in this game. Can Carson Palmer not have red zone turnovers? How many strip sacks or whatever is Jamie Collins going to have in Dante Hightower? I think ball possession with Arizona is as worrisome as it is with Jimmy Garoppolo.
The best thing the Patriots have in this game is the depth at safety. I think Chung and McCourty back there and their ability to move around and maybe trick him into a couple things and have Malcolm bait and have Malcolm put him on Fitzgerald and let him go compete. Let's see what the heck happens.
I would really say if you were to look at all four units, keep the two special teams out of this, I think potentially you walk into the game with the strongest of the four, maybe being the Patriots defense. I think the real concern if your unit is Arizona's offensive line. How are they going to handle these people? Not how is Jimmy Garoppolo going to sort of handle this football game?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I really am. The 1-2 punch that they have with Chris Johnson too, so it's kind of like thunder and lightning. I know that's like one of those cheesy tags, but it really is for them. It's your ability to adjust to two different running styles and still keep a quarterback. And the best thing is this guy's a pocket passer. You know what Carson Palmer's going to be. He's got cement feet. He's going to be 6.5 yards right behind center. Get that guy, push him, force him out of that pocket, make him throw off his back foot all day.
Well, they do have fire and smoke in their wide receiving core, J.J. Nelson and John Brown. Defensively, they've got playmakers. Tyrann Mathieu scheduled to come back, mm-hmm. coming off a torn ACL. Patrick Peterson, a perennial Pro Bowler, one of the best at corner. And, of course, former Patriot Chandler Jones up front, trying to get some of the pass rush that they usually got from the blitz from a down lineman, or at least in this case, an outside linebacker at times.
It's interesting with Chandler. I've seen him kick him down inside like New England did a couple times, and where Chandler gets lost is when he's down inside. I think he's very blockable down in there. You get your hands on him, and you just pass him around between center and guard. What you want to do is free up Chandler in that backside, get a one-on-one with, say, a Nate Solder. I think that's nightmare scenario for Patriots fans because of the quickness, the hand-to-hand combat, and he'll be able to get up under Nate.
When I talk about the four units, I would put that Cardinals as actually two behind the Patriots, but I think it's a neck and neck. But what I really like is just the Patriots' depth across the front. You just don't know who's coming. I think the Cardinals aren't nearly as deep. So the one thing you will look at is the pressure packages, and that's the thing you got to keep your eye out. If for some reason they start dialing those up and hitting and the Patriots don't adjust, well, different kind of game.
All right, it's a matchup of two teams who reached their conference championship a year ago, Super Bowl contenders once more. Matt and Zoe will tell us on the other side of a timeout who starts this season at 1-0.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Make sure Tampa's Mike Evans gets the start this week. The big wideout should rebound after a sophomore slump. And playing indoors against the porous Atlanta secondary is a great way to get off to a great start. But keep Eric Decker on the bench. The Jets' number two receiver is coming off a big year. But Decker will have a tough time putting up big numbers at home against a good Bengals secondary. This week's sleeper is running back Spencer Ware. With Jamal Charles still sidelined, Ware will be the featured back for the Chiefs and expect him to have a big day against the Chargers at Arrowhead Stadium. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for the prediction in the primetime matchup of the Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Chatham, who wins? Who's the impact player in this game?
Well, Patriots this week, so I'm going to go Patriots. This is a home show, shocker. But no, I really do think it's going to be a competitive contest for the Patriots matchup. Well, I'll go Patriots 21-17. Rob Gronkowski is the guy to watch. How do you prepare for a guy you didn't see the entire preseason? He's the difference maker for this offense.
The difference here is going to be this defense. We've been talking about Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo. This defense is going to hold him to 16 points. Patriots 20-16. The playmaker, the guy that's going to be a difference maker, Danny Amendola.
Wow.
He's going to get about 8 catches in this game. You put him in a slot, and I think he's going to get in a rhythm with Jimmy.
So you guys are going with two players who didn't appear in the preseason, Amendola and now Captain Rob Gronkowski, first-time captain for the Pats, along with Dante Hightower. Patriots and Cardinals this week. Next week, we'll talk Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. For Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. So long, everyone.